You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each postseason edition of MLB At The Plate. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Steve Lyons.
Welcome to the MLB At The Plate World Series postgame podcast. Alongside Steve Lyons, I'm Holden Kushner. The Astros took a 2-1 series lead over the Dodgers with a 5-3 win in Houston. Astros broadcaster Steve Sparks joined Steve and I to break down the action from Game 3. Psycho, want to get some of your impressions on this one after the Astros win it 5-3.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, when you look at what's going on with the Astros, they're pushing all the right buttons, and the Dodgers certainly are not able to do that. They're not being able to get any performances out of their pitching staff. They look bad. They hung in there tight. They hung tough in this game. I mean, this could have been a blowout from the get-go, but they kind of settled in. The Astros didn't score many more runs, and the Dodgers kept pecking away at it, but they had more opportunities. They were 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. The Astros left a ton of guys on base, but great performance by Brad Peacock out of the pen. That was the difference.
3 2/3 no-hit innings. He gave up a walk. He struck out 4. McCullers did enough, giving up 3 runs in 5 1/3. And then how about you, Darvish? I mean, this is the other story. If Peacock is 1, then Darvish is 1A. An inning and 2/3. He didn't strike anybody out. Gave up 6 hits and 4 runs. Had no feel for his breaking pitches. Shortest start ever in the history of his career. First major league game that he didn't strike out anybody. He threw 49 pitches. He only got one swing and missed, Steve. And the last 3 balls that were hit off of Darvish, 105, 103, 107. They were crushed baseballs. I can't believe that a pitcher that great had such a horrible night, but he just picked it on the wrong night.
Yeah, he wasn't fooling anybody. And I thought that with Darvish, that was their best opportunity within these next 2 games, this one and tomorrow night, to win a game. And because, you know, I don't like the way it sets up for the Dodgers tomorrow night. You got to get Kershaw back on the mound. That's going to be tough going for Houston, but they'll be on the verge of possibly clinching the whole thing at that point. So I was surprised. I thought Darvish would come out and give us a much better performance. He was terrible when you get right down to it. There's no other way to describe it. Even you said, worst performance of his professional career, could not have come at a worse time when you're supposed to step up on the big stage and do what you're supposed to do, come into an opposing team's house with the series tied at 1 apiece. You got to come in there and give us a better effort. We already know that you went deep into your bullpen 2 days ago. Every guy in that bullpen pitched, and now the same situation, you come in here, you're back deep into the bullpen again. Guess what? You got to play tomorrow night.
Yeah, this was a really entertaining ball game, a long ball game, but an entertaining ball game. And of course, the Astros taking that 4-0 lead in the second, I thought they could add a lot more. But ultimately, it really was Brad Peacock. So tell me, what about Peacock had the Dodgers just not having anything against him? Again, 3 2/3 hitless innings. He was brilliant tonight. What did he have working tonight?
Well, I mean, he was throwing his fastball, and it looked to me like, I mean, he's got some giddy up on that fastball, but it looked to me that the Dodgers were, it was weird. This seemed like they were off balance on fastballs. Like it was almost like he was changing speeds, but and yet he was just throwing mostly fastballs. He mixed in a slider every once in a while, and it had a little bit better break than in the past. You got to remember, Brad Peacock, a few years ago, I did a game when I was, I think I was still working with the Dodgers, and they were down on Brad Peacock. They thought he was soft. He wasn't very effective. He was up and down in the minor leagues. He didn't have good numbers at the major league level. They weren't sure what they were going to do with him. This is a different guy a few seasons later. And really, I think he just went out there and challenged Dodger hitters with his fastball, and they weren't hitting him. I mean, let's face it, even in that 9th inning, he was throwing balls right down the middle, and guys weren't able to even put it in play.
Yeah, and then on the other side of things, one of the guys that couldn't do anything right tonight and is now 0-for-11 with 7 Ks in the series, Cody Bellinger. You know, it's going to happen. Guys are going to go through funks, but the problem is, just like Darvish having a bad night tonight, Bellinger picking the wrong time to go in a massive slump like he has.
And we've seen it, you know, time and time again with young players. I mean, let's not forget this guy spent the month of April still in the minor leagues, wasn't even in the big leagues, and then he comes in and racks up 39 home runs in the big leagues for the Dodgers this year. Just a tremendous season. But we see it time and time again. Young players, first opportunity in the postseason, first time in the World Series, huge stage. Pressure gets to you a little bit more, and you get a little over-aggressive, as you talked about. I mean, lots of swings and misses out of Bellinger, whereas during the season, he was a guy that was making solid contact all year.
Brad Peacock, first hitless save of three or more innings pitched in the World Series ever since it became an official stat back in 1969. Third pitcher since 69 with an 11 or more out save. It was Bumgarner doing it five innings back in 2014. And then the aforementioned, if you listen to the telecast, it was Steve Howe with 3 2/3 innings back in 1981. And really, I thought this game was over when Carlos Correa touched up Stripling for what looked to be a grand slam.
Wow.
What was that, seventh inning? Oh, my goodness. That ball was pummeled.
Hey, we're not playing in Los Angeles where the ball jumps.
No, we're not playing in Los Angeles. That ball was not juiced, obviously. Maybe he got under it a little bit. I don't know what it was, but, boy, Stripling threw that pitch with the bases loaded and two down, and he started walking toward his catcher, and he shrugged his shoulders and looked up in the air, and you know that the second that ball hit the bat that he thought it was gone. Well, he had a smile walking off the field. That, to me, could have been a monster moment in that ball game. But it ended up not hurting anybody.
Yeah, it would have been the dagger. That, I mean, game over if that ball goes out of the yard. And, you know, we continue to talk about the same kind of guys on the Astros. We look at Correa, and Gurriel went deep today. Altuve, it seems to be the same guys that you're talking about day in and day out. Although Altuve and Correa today, 2 for 10, together. So more guys, and we talk about this, you know, when the Houston Astros were a National League team, it was easy to say, it was like, hey, they got an American League lineup. Well, guess what? Now they're an American League team, and they do have an American League lineup. There are no weak spots there. There's no problems. Every guy that you have to face, you have to worry about. Every guy in that lineup can take you out of the ballpark, and every guy can do some damage. And once they get the train rolling, it's tough to stop.
Well, how about this, the bullpens now, and time to throw like a pro like we do once a week on this show, because we highlight the bullpens. Throw like a pro time, Steve.
It's time for Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. This is where we take a moment to spotlight individuals, key late game situations, or entire bullpens to open up for discussion. Go National, go like a pro.
Well, again, I'll just go back into a Peacock, 3 2/3 hitless innings of work, getting the save tonight. And on the other side, let's talk about the Dodgers for a second. Maeda, Watson, Morrow, Cingrani, Stripling. That's five pitchers Dave Roberts went to. He's got two more days in a row where he's got to go to his bullpen. Now, the good news is he didn't use Kenley Jansen, and we've seen him use Kenley for more than six outs before, but how about Dave Roberts using so many pitchers in Game 3, and how you think that really sets him up for the next two games of this series?
Well, you know, I think at least he got way better results this time, and he didn't have to really overuse too many guys. Maeda was out there 2 2/3, so that's going to be tough to have him come back tomorrow. Maybe if he has to get a couple righties out in a row, he could use them. But Watson goes one. Morrow's just 2/3. Cingrani 2/3. Stripling through 1 1/3. So he got much better production out of the guys he used in this ball game than he did in Game 2. So that's a little bit of a better position going into this next ball game. That if he can get the ball to Kenley Jansen, if they have any kind of a lead, Jansen will be fresh.
Well, he's going to need Wood or Kershaw, one of those two guys, to go deep in a ball game, and I'm talking seven innings. And I'm not so sure that they would trust Wood to do that. Wood would have to just be lights out tomorrow. So we probably won't see Maeda again. I would be shocked if we saw him again before Game 5. And really, even Game 5 might be too much, because he's pitched in the last two games, and this is a guy that's coming out of the starting rotation. You've got Watson, Morrow. Let's talk about Morrow for a second. So he was pulled after one-plus innings in Game 2, comes out, and he got yanked again after giving up a hit and a walk despite striking out two. So Morrow got two outs in this one. I'm a little bit surprised at what I perceived as a quicker hook tonight. I didn't like that they pulled Morrow. Now, ultimately, it worked out for Dave Roberts, but it seems as though all the faith that he had shown in him, even through the end of the regular season, through the LCS, maybe a little of that was shaken, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to use these guys. Once you go to them, you got to use them, or you're going to use every one of the guys in your pen every night. You can't do that. And that's kind of what's happening with Dave Roberts right now. He's having to use too many guys out of that bullpen, and he is voluntarily making a lot of these changes, and it all comes crashing down on you because of the start by Yu Darvish, which was just terrible, and, you know, the worst start of his career. You know, you can't have your starter go out there and throw – what do you go, an inning and a third? Just bad.
Yeah, you got five outs. He gave up six hits and four runs. Didn't strike anybody out. So the ERA sit at 21.60. If he gets another chance to pitch in the series, you know, you would think you'll get a much different result there. But let's go to the Houston bullpen. So you had a whole bunch of arms used in game two. We expected that. Here we go, game number three. Peacock took care of business. You know, I thought we'd see McCullers, what he did in the ALCS. Maybe they'd figure out a way to use him in that vein in this series. Well, they got five and a third and three runs out of him tonight. They didn't have to use him in that capacity. So now you've got Peacock that took care of business this evening, and that saves everybody for the rest of the two games here in Houston. Davinsky, Kenny Giles. I don't think Hinch has a lot of faith in Ken Giles right now, because it seems like every time he goes out, he's giving up runs, but at least those guys are going to be fresh if indeed they're needed in game number four.
Yeah, I think he'll have a lot more faith in Giles if he has him in a situation that he normally pitches in. Clean inning, ninth inning, you know, two-run lead, one-run lead, whatever it is, have him go out there and be the closer for a three-out save, and I think he'll be fine. I like Davinsky setting him up, so those guys are both ready to go again, and it didn't have to use them tonight. Didn't have to use the guys that you really want to use when you close out a game in a situation like this. So you're looking at two different situations. One, very fresh bullpen. If you're in a situation where you want to win the ball game, you have the guys that you want in position to be pitching if you're the Houston Astros. It's not so much that case with the Dodgers right now, with the exception of Kenley Jansen, who should be rested.
All right, again, Brad Peacock, superstar tonight. Possibly a best day ever. 3 2/3 no-hit innings. Third pitcher since 69 with 11-plus out save in the World Series. That, my friends, was Throw Like a Pro.
That was Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
All right, Psycho, we'll come back. We'll catch up with Astros radio analyst Steve Sparks, who joins us live from Houston, from the ball game, from the ballpark, Minute Maid Park, next on MLB at the Plate.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
Hey, it's Anthony Valadez. We have a new music channel exclusively on TuneIn, Indie Eclectic. It's home for the emerging and boundary-pushing artists, from soul to electronic, folk to world sounds, hip-hop to jazz. Music should inspire you, it should challenge you, and make you feel some sort of way. All hand-picked gems from the likes of Nick Hakim.
The bands that are featured on the record are all bands that I plan.
What's next? British sensation Jaybird stopped by for a live session and a performance of her single, Cathedral.
I heard it from the end of the cathedral. Baby, I was gonna break your heart.
Latin alternative breakout artist H.L. stopped by to discuss his inspiration.
There's been many phases in my life now since Harlem, but it definitely pushes me. And then going downtown, you can't get in a club, you know. You're outside, and then you see, like, Kid Cudi going inside, you know. Just seeing all that, being right next to you, people rubbing shoulders, knowing that it's possible, it's all encouraging.
From the record bins to the blogosphere and into your ears, it's Indie Eclectic, heard exclusively on TuneIn.
The Passion.
25, first down, 20. 15, 10, 5, 3, 2, 1.
The Fury.
Inhaled in the backfield.
Sack for the Huskies.
The Speed.
Here's a home run ball. He's out there.
He catches it.
The best in college football from coast to coast.
Touchdown, Notre Dame.
13-0 Buckeyes.
The goal line. Touchdown, Texas.
Ball's on the carpet. Georgia says we have it.
He's in. Touchdown, Michigan.
This is the Nissan College Football Blitz.
Listen on Saturdays this fall on College Sports Now on TuneIn.
The
1, 2, 3.
Playlists and hit songs picked out for you by your favorite social influencers right here on Herdwell Radio.
Hit music.
Let's go.
From lit jams to sleepy time songs, we'll play the best music that you need to know. Check out our specially curated playlists like the hashtag What's Trending Hour or our Chart Toppers Mix. Keep the party going with our weekend brunch mixes or our nightly hype mix. No matter what time of day, Herdwell Radio's got you covered. You bring the party, we got the music.
Recaps, predictions, analysis, and more. This is MLB at the Plate, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
Here's the 1-2 to Marwin. Breaking ball, and that's hit pretty well and pretty deep to left center. Taylor is going back on the warning track. He leaves, and he can't get it. It's off the pillar in front of the visitor's bullpen. Reddick around third, and he will score. Marwin Gonzalez, an RBI single, and it's 2-0 Astros.
Astros beat the Dodgers 5-3. The Astros have a 2-1 series lead. Game number 4 coming up tomorrow at Minute Maid Park. Right now, let's go out to Houston and Minute Maid Park. Holden Kushner, Steve Lyons, joined by Steve Sparks, once again, the radio analyst for the Astros. Steve, thanks for the time, buddy. It seemed like it was a really awesome atmosphere inside Minute Maid Park tonight. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, hungry for their first win ever in Houston in a World Series, and they got it tonight. And probably coming off of a hangover game, too, wouldn't you imagine? A lot of these fans getting out here. This town is super buzzed right now. Everybody very excited, and rightly so. It's a very talented team. It's a young, energetic team, and they're easy to root for right now.
Steve, when you look at the lineup, the way it sits, I was kind of thinking, man, you only have two guys that you really need to get going, and that's Reddick and McCann. McCann hadn't been doing much. He gets three hits today. Reddick kills the ball at home for whatever reason. He had two hits tonight, so five between them. There aren't a lot of weaknesses in that lineup right now.
That's the thing, Steve. I mean, you go through this lineup on a daily basis, and there's no really breathing room. A lot of times a starting pitcher can look at a lineup and just say, okay, I've got – a little soft spot here, a little soft spot there. But, I mean, throughout the season, we've seen the bottom third of the lineup match up with almost the middle of the lineup against a lot of teams they face during the course of the season. So it's very deep. It's very long. Makes things very tough on a lot of pitchers. Darvish with his shortest outing of his career tonight. And the Astros have had trouble against him throughout the time that he's been in the major league. It was just a great win. It's a pretty good game plan. Once again, the Astros coming up with some pretty timely hits, especially in the second inning. And two straight home wins now. When you look back at the American League Championship Series for the Astros with only two pitchers, and both times the reliever was a starter, so pretty creative too.
Yeah, it's always nice when you know you're not going to use as many starters and one of those guys can go down in the pen and be effective. But when you look at the bullpens between these two teams, even though the Dodgers bullpen was effective tonight, they are taxed. They've been in every, you know, too many guys in every game. Right. How about the job that Peacock did tonight? Just unbelievable.
It was phenomenal. He's so unassuming, Steve. I mean, you'd love him. And I guarantee some people will have him in some interviews, and he'd just say, I'm just glad I could contribute. You know, we had him on our post-game show right afterwards, as humble as can be, very understated, but what a phenomenal year he had, first out of the bullpen, then in the rotation, and now back into the bullpen to get some big ticket outs, 3 2/3, man. It's been phenomenal, kind of a ride for guys like Brad Peacock. And see, you know, Holden, you know this too, it's going to take different guys that you don't really expect to step up big for a team to get where they want to go.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, some guy that was struggling in the playoffs earlier but had another couple hits tonight is Reddick, too. I mean, Marwin, I'm a big fan of Marwin. Like what he did tonight, obviously, coming up with a really big hit. But I think Reddick scoring a couple of runs, nobody's talking about him, and he had a nice game tonight, too.
He really did. And he comes up big. Steve just said it as well. He had the highest batting average of any other American leaguer at home this year. And I asked him about that. He just said, hey, it's the hitting background. I just got really comfortable here. I like the way I see the ball. It slows me down thinking about that short porch in left field to slow it and let the ball travel and keeps my front shoulder closed. I can react on pitches in, all of the things that make a hitter good because it creates good mechanics. And I think for the Astros, too, just kind of getting a step ahead. Now Kershaw can't clinch it, you know, which is a big deal. And if the Dodgers want to win, they'll also have to deal with Justin Verlander again. So setting up pretty good for Houston now.
You know, Steve, everyone talks about the team and the journey, and especially this team has had a big journey. There was some mm-hmm. lean years. You were involved in those as well. And I talked to you right before the division series, and they just wiped out the Red Sox and then got through the Yankees now into the World Series. We talk about how much fun the team is having, and both these teams are so young. They're having a great time. But how about for you? How much are you enjoying this? Because, you know, I know you absolutely consider yourself part of this team, and the emotions that you're going through.
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't consider myself part of this team. Obviously, I broadcast almost every single. We do every spring training game. We do every game during the season. No days off. I've probably broadcast 210 games now this year because of the World Baseball Classic and the extended spring training. I'm invested in these players. I've really gotten to like them and to know them and getting to know the families now that we travel with all the families during the playoffs. So. To see them as fathers and all of those things. And when you watch guys, you really start to pull for them. And I know that there's great guys on the Dodgers as well. But when you mention those lean years, for me personally, it was my first year as a broadcaster when the team lost 111, probably better off, but not many people heard my crap at the beginning stages. the way things are going right now, man, it's very rewarding. I'm happy for a lot of people in there because a lot of hard work goes into it, just like you guys know.
All right, I got two more for you. Steve Sparks with us just called the Astros game. The Astros call on the Astros flagship there. So, end of game two. You guys, the Astros down by a couple runs late. Any point in time through your mind, you're saying, oh, it's a dire situation. We're probably going back to Houston 0-2?
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. I mean, especially when you get Kenley Jansen coming into the ball game. The Dodgers, and you guys probably reported that they're 98-0 when they have the lead after eight innings. And so improbable on an 0-2 pitch that a cut fastball flattened out and Marvin Gonzalez drove it out of the ballpark. If it was probably 10 degrees cooler, ball doesn't get out because it was hopping, right, because of the heat. No marine layer out there this time of year for whatever reason. So makes you start to scratch your head and wonder if things are just setting up right for the Astros.
All right, and then we got Charlie Morton coming up tomorrow against Alex Wood. What do you expect to see out of Morton if he is on in the first inning? What's going on with Morton? And then after that, it seems as though everybody but Peacock and McCullers, McCullers not even in the bullpen, everybody in the bullpen available besides for Peacock.
Everybody's locked and loaded to go. And we're starting to see Musgrove and DaVinci gain confidence as this postseason goes along. And, you know, when you get into these situations and your heart rate gets a little deeper and you're trying to race and get some outs, and your stuff is lagging. You know, you get to this stage of the season, and adrenaline is what carries you through these outings. But sometimes as a pitcher, that's what kills you, because when your body gets ahead of your arm, usually you lag and you elevate the baseball. And I think these guys are starting to learn that location plays better than velocity. Location plays better than even movement. And they're starting to learn that just to relax, let their arm catch up with their body, and almost like maybe a 7-iron. If you're on the 18th hole, and you got a stock 7-iron shot, sometimes guys will go to the 8-iron because they know they got a little extra adrenaline. And I think guys are starting to realize now that sometimes less is a little bit more in these tight situations. And sometimes the guys that can calm themselves down just a little bit more in crunch situations come out on top.
All right. Thanks so much for the time, Steve. You take care of yourself. We appreciate it.
All right. You got it, guys. Take care.
All right. Have fun.
Steve Sparks just got done calling a game for KBME, the flagship out there in Houston. And again, a game three victory. And I just go back to that game two because I'm saying to myself, oh boy, you know, Kenley's coming in. They're going to be down 0-2. They're going home. Verlander just got beat. They might pick up a couple of games at home, but this thing is going to go to the Dodgers. And everything changed right there very quickly. And I suppose it's a nice lesson to get reacquainted with, because even in this series, things change very quickly in a seven-game series. And tomorrow the Dodgers can come out, get rolling, win that game. And then they got Kershaw ready for game five.
Yeah, I mean, things do change with one win. But you've got to get that win. You know, it takes four of them to walk away with this whole thing. And you're right. I mean, we thought game two was pretty much over, would have been a 2-0 lead for the Dodgers. That turned around. And even when you look at this game, it seemed like the Astros were in complete control. But the Dodgers were really one big swing away from either tying it or going ahead. They had guys on base. They were 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. So that didn't help them at all. They couldn't come through with the big hit. But if you get one of those, like you said, you know, Kershaw's waiting in the wings.
We do have an apparent situation between Yuli Gurriel and Yu Darvish. I'll tell you about is Yu Darvish not happy with Yuli Gurriel. Looked like a racial slur and a gesture that he threw at him after Gurriel's early home run. So that could affect the Astros, whether or not they have Gurriel later in this series. Plus, we'll hear from Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, next on MLB at the Plate.
The postseason will continue on MLB at the Plate, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.